Have you ever wondered how to build a strong marketing lead gen engine? Well, in today's episode of The Growth Equation, we got to bring on Roger, who's the VP of marketing at Hashtag Pay. Roger got to bring in a really interesting perspective about how you build a really strong demand gen engine, and not just thinking about turning paid spend on, but really understanding who your customer is and then leveraging the right distribution channel to leverage that. He also talks quite a bit about like how you build and scale and build really strong marketing teams and the types of people that he looks for. That's a little bit different than probably what you've heard in the industry so far. So super excited to bring him on. He has an amazing perspective. So let's get started in the episode.
Hi, Roger. Welcome to the Growth Equation podcast. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
How are things on your end?
Things are going well.
Awesome. Well, I think the first thing that would be great to like get started with, like just some of our listeners, is like maybe just tell me like a little bit more just about yourself and kind of your background.
Yeah. So my name is Roger and I do marketing at Hashtag Paid. We're an influencer marketing platform. And I first got into marketing through music. I was a musician, I was in a band. And what I learned was that the planning that happened around a tour, the planning that happened around an album release, the marketing, the messaging was the thing that I enjoyed the most about being in a band. And so I would say that's when I launched into marketing. That's when I think I first fell in love with it. And here I am today, a bunch of years later.
Awesome. And then specifically talking about like, just like Hashtag Pay, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, you're working on over there and like leading from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, I think we launched a platform last year. Hashtag Pay used to be an agency, an influencer marketing agency, and we've launched a platform that allows brands to do influencer marketing in a way that's very similar to the way they do their other paid media. And so part of marketing's focus over the past year has been preparing and launching that product. And that includes things like finding the right customer for this product, finding the right message for this product, and then finding the right channels to distribute that message. So over the past year, those are kind of, that's been our focus, finding a customer, finding the message, and then finding the channels for distribution.
And then talking specifically about like building up like the channels of distribution and building like that demand gen engine in like 2020, like what do you think are like the key focus channels like marketers should focus on in like this day and age?
It's a good question. I'm asked often. One of my answers, or the answer I always come back with, is I think it's going to depend on who your customer is. And so I think everybody's engaged in pretty much the same channel. So at a high level, they don't vary too much. But I think it always comes down to who your customer is and where they hang out. And so that's why our focus over the past year, the first bit of that focus before we even find our distribution channels, is always finding your customer. And so if you're going to build an engine, the first thing that you need is you need to find who that customer is. And once you know that information, then you can start building things that are valuable to them. And those things that you build, then you can figure out how to distribute to those people because you know where they are, you know where they hang out. And so what I can do is maybe offer some recommendations on how to find that customer. What we did at Hashtag Paid was use SDRs. And SDRs are a wonderful distribution channel. One, because I think they add to the culture of a company. They are wonderful people, extremely intelligent, they're bright, and I love being around them. Two, they are your primary research department. And so they're on the ground, they are talking to customers and prospects more than anyone else in the company. So by hanging out with them, by talking to them, you learn a lot more about your customer than you probably would have anywhere else. And so SDRs are a great way to find who your customer is. On top of that, they're probably the most efficient because they have a target every month and they have a salary, and both those things are pretty fixed. And so you can more or less predict what the outcome is going to be. And so your cost per acquisition is sort of fixed and more predictable versus maybe, you know, you're trying to find a customer and you're launching into something like paid social or content syndication or something, which is much more dangerous because on top of the cost of the lead, you have to have an SDR to triage the leads. And so the cost is much more expensive at a stage in your company or a stage of a launch that you probably don't want to be spending that amount of money. And so if you're going to build an engine, you have to find a customer, and I highly recommend doing that with SDRs.
Oh, yeah. I think just one quick follow-up to that is like, I like the concept that you were talking about, like just identifying basically who your customer is, what the message is, and what the channel is. Do you find that, like, from what you've seen, too many like companies, especially as they're like early stage, just like hit the ground running and just start to like turn on the easiest channels, if that's just like Facebook as an example, or like Google with paid search or some type of like Google ads, without actually thinking through like who their customer and the message you have to do first, and just kind of, they're trying to just generate traffic as much as you can.
Yeah. And I think if you know who you're, you know, if you have a good idea and a strong, you know, guess or hypothesis on who your customer is, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And certainly there have been companies in the past where I have done that, and that's okay, but it's not the most efficient. I would say if I had to generalize, or if I had to offer a recommendation, I would say there is a danger to doing that. And that's why I prefer to do that with SDRs. And then once you have a couple SDRs running and it's efficient, and you see the improved efficiency in their outreach and their outbound and kind of their results, then you can start turning on maybe some other channels. That'd be my recommendation. That said, if you have a general idea of who you want to serve already, and you're developing content and valuable assets for that audience, then it's okay to turn on, you know, your paid social jets or whatever it is, whatever channels you want to spend money on to promote that content. I think that's not wrong to do. So I want to be careful. Like, I don't think my recommendation applies to everyone. And so there's cases, you know, where turning on channels is really good. But I think you're right. Your question is, do companies do that often? Is it dangerous? I think yes. I think it can be dangerous because you can spend, it's very easy to spend $30, $40, $50, $60, $100,000 a month on a paid channel. It's very dangerous. And so using an SDR, the costs are more controlled.
And then just on like the cost side of things, you know, like I'm trying to develop like a healthy like marketing mix. Are you someone that like will, you know, naturally gear towards creating like more like organic marketing distribution channels, or are you on more like the paid side, or do you think you have a balance of both?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'd say that because my background, the way I got into marketing was in the early days was demand gen, and that's probably where my strengths lie. My mind always turns to paid channels first. I think that's my default. That's where I cocoon. But the wonderful thing at Hashtag Paid is I think we've done things the right way. And because we've learned who our customer is early on, we've been able to do things that drive a lot of organic traffic. And so I have some pretty robust infrastructure in place right now that's tracking quite well. And even then, I still get a lot of direct traffic where I have to resort on my SDRs asking, how did you hear about us? Because people are hearing about us through word of mouth, and they're hearing about us organically through some of the things that we're doing in the market. So I'd say my default historically has been through pay channels, or defaulting to pay channels. But as I've developed the customer at Hashtag Paid, or because we've developed the customer at Hashtag Paid, I've seen the pendulum swing. We're relying way more on the organic acquisition of customers.
And just on that, like your background specifically on some paid channels, like how, you know, for a lot of companies as an example, right, when they're starting off, like they naturally turn to the paid channels because it's the fastest way that you can, you know, drive some demand towards the product or service that you have in place. Like, how would you recommend companies leverage paid channels as part of their portfolio, right? I think is a question I would have.
Yeah, how to leverage paid channels as a part of their portfolio. Yeah, I'm always cautious of telling people to jump into any particular channel, because if you don't know your customer, you know, you can yell really loud in someone's ear, but if you're speaking a different language, they're still not going to understand you. So you need to know who your customer is. You need to know what your positioning is. You need to know what your message is. And so I would argue that the irony of kind of trying to grow fast and spending money on your channels is that you end up, yes, you might get some early traction, you might see some early results, but over time, doing it the other way far outperforms investing in paid channels early on. And I've seen that at Hashtag Paid. In 6 months, our MRR has grown exponentially, which is wonderful. And again, with very little spend on the marketing side. So I would always caution people to be careful with their paid spend.
And just a little bit like on that, you know, as marketers and leading like a marketing team, you know, how do you think like marketing teams should be looking at and managing like your customer acquisition costs and like trying to balance that? You know, in some cases, it's always been kind of a little bit of free reign, and it's been like this kind of growth at all costs and acquire as many customers. You know, I'd love to understand like your perspective on like on doing that versus trying to build something more sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, I think growing at all costs is going to be a little difficult right now, given the current environment. I'll say this. I think if you know who your customer is, and I keep repeating myself and I apologize, but it really does fundamentally, I think, rely on understanding who your customer is. If you know that, what I recommend to build an engine is understand your customer and then build things that are valuable for that customer. So for example, you might want to build content, and the issue with B2B content very often is it's not very helpful. It's you're kind of checking a box like, oh, we have this content. But if you really understand your customer, you're going to start writing things that aren't even necessarily related to your business. You might just write things that are valuable for the customer, which then allows your demand team to build an audience. And once you have an audience, it's a lot easier then to acquire the customer from that audience versus trying to acquire a whole new customer that isn't part of your audience. And so if you understand who your customer is, your positioning and your message, then you can start building assets and content that are extremely valuable to your customer. Content that's going to keep them coming back to consume your content, right? They're going to subscribe to your newsletter, possibly. They're going to subscribe to your podcast. They want to know what you have to say. They're going to follow your people, your leaders, or your employees on Twitter, on LinkedIn, or whatever it is. And so when you do have a product then when you do want to acquire customers, you have a great audience then to, one, retarget to, and two, you have another great audience to build lookalikes off of. And so if you're building a demand gen engine, my recommendation to keep your cost of acquisition low is find out who your customer is. Do that whole work up front. Invest in your positioning, invest in your message, find out who your customer, and then begin building things that are valuable for that customer. Once you build an audience, then you can start spending a whole bunch of money, and it gets really, really fun for your demand gen people, because then you can start nurturing, and your nurturing isn't just through email, which is traditionally how people do it. You know, they get in Pardot or Marketo or HubSpot or whatever it is, and they build their nurture campaigns, and you know, they segment. But you can start, if you know your customers and you have an audience, you can start nurturing on paid social, right? You can have different campaigns that target maybe a blog post or a couple different blog posts. You can drive people to a podcast. You can drive people to whatever else it is, and then retarget them, and then keep pushing them to different assets and trying to convert them then once they get on your site or once they get to the landing page. And so, and these people, again, are subscribed to what you have to say. And so there's a much higher likelihood and there's a higher propensity for them to convert on something that is a higher ask, like a demo or, you know, or a product offer.
And then just kind of switching gears and moving away from call it channel distribution and more on the customer stuff that you've mentioned, you know, how would you recommend people that haven't been doing this, like understand who their customer is, working on the messaging, the positioning, you know, it's probably not an area that people naturally move towards right away. I find that it's something that probably in like more mature organizations definitely do. What would you recommend to someone to like, if they want to get started and think of and to try to approach it that way, like where would they even start?
If you're a demand gen person and you're going in for an interview, I would ask if that stuff is nailed down already. Do they know who they're selling to? Do they know who their customer is? Do they know what the positioning is? Do they know what the message is? So if I know a lot of people are ready at companies, but if you are making a move to a new company, I would ask those questions, because a lot of your success as a demand gen person is reliant on your product marketers. It's reliant on your content people, and it's required on leadership to figure out what the position is of the business. And so I would ask that question. I think it's incredibly indicative of whether or not you're going to be successful, whether or not you're going to come in and you're going to be pressured to grow with very little understanding of your customer and your market. So that's probably where I would start for anybody who is looking for a gig. Ask that question and be wary of people who haven't done that and are looking to grow. If they haven't done it, but they understand that they need to do it, then there's an opportunity for you as a demand gen person to grow and to expand into new territory. So maybe you're used to doing paid social, or maybe you're used to marketing operations or marketing automation. Well, if a company has said, yes, we understand we need to work on our positioning and our message, well, there's a new opportunity for you to learn and for you to grow into a marketing leader. Learn about a new area that maybe you have no experience in. And where there's chaos, one of my mentors always told me, where there's chaos, there's opportunity. And where you don't know your customer, there's chaos. And if you're the managing person entering an organization that doesn't know that, there's opportunity for you to do that. So my recommendation is when you're interviewing, when you're joining a company, ask for that. If they don't have it, it's a yellow flag. But if they say, hey, we don't have it, but we understand that that's first and that's priority, and we need to work on it, then that's an opportunity for you to learn and grow. If you're at a company already that isn't doing this and is turning on the jets, then I would, you know, I would encourage you to fill in that role, step into that gap and do that job. And there's wonderful resources. We have probably one of the smartest people in our city who wrote a book, who has been my staple for positioning. Her name is April Dunford, and her book is called Obviously Awesome. And I'm not even going to pretend like I came up with all of this on my own with regards to positioning. I never tell people that I came up with it on my own. I literally just tell people I ripped her book almost word for word. I think it's probably the most helpful, actionable book on positioning available in the whole world. And so I highly recommend people read it. It'll make demand gen people way more successful. So where do you get started if you don't know? I would read the book, Obviously Awesome by April Dunford. That's probably my starting point.
It's a really good book. I've read it. Thanks for calling that out. I would say just moving onto a different area, what would you say as like some of the keys? So say you're kind of starting off your career or you're more junior and you have a couple of years under your belt, you know, what would you say are the key areas marketers should be focused on in building their skill set out?
Interesting. Yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunity in demand gen. And so not just from a, just think there's a lot of people looking for demand gen people. A lot of them are hiring. They're good demand gen people are really hard to find. And so Aiden, if you're a marketer and you're looking at, or a growth person, you're looking at, you know, marketing, or if you're listening to this podcast and you're looking at marketing as a whole, I would say demand gen and growth, there's a huge opportunity there. Specifically within demand gen or growth, as I see it, I think before you start investing in digital marketing or even automation, I would understand infrastructure, because few people understand how to build a system that then reports back revenue properly, that reports back results accurately. So if I'm entering into demand gen, my starting point might be operations, because I think that's extremely valuable to the business, and it's more rare in people who are interviewing. I've done a bunch of interviews with demand gen people, and there's not a lot who understand the operational side and how to build the infrastructure in order to deliver the metrics and the reports that we need to, you know, to people who manage business. And so if you're looking at marketing, I think demand and growth is a wonderful opportunity for your career. If you're looking at demand and growth specifically within that domain, I would highly recommend learning operations first.
And just like one follow-up question to that, you know, if you're going to specialize in growth or demand gen, like, do you say it's better to like be more of a generalist and get your toes wet across all of the different types of, you know, marketing channels that are out there, or like specializing in like maybe paid, or specializing more like on the organic side of things?
I'm always in favor of being a generalist with a caveat, because if you have superficial knowledge of everything, then you're not a very valuable generalist. I don't think you need 10,000 hours in each of those areas either. So I think being a generalist is very, very powerful, and that's probably the way to go. Absolutely, 100%. That said, you need to invest a little bit of time in each, so you actually understand, so you actually provide value in each of them. But by no means you need to be a specialist in all of them. So yes, I agree with you. Being a generalist is much more powerful than being a specialist in one specific area.
And when you think about like you're building like a marketing team, do you think like the marketing team in 2020 is just made up of people that are in demand gen or growth? Or do you think that there's other areas specifically of marketing of that there could be roles for too?
I think building a marketing team just with demand gen or growth is, again, pretty dangerous. I think, again, because I believe in finding the customer, and I believe in the messaging and the positioning first, and then the content and distribution, I'd probably build out my team in that way. And I think it's going to depend on the skill set of your marketing leader and the skill set of the team around. And so again, I don't think there's a bullet rule, but what I would focus on is I probably would focus less on roles and focus more on areas that need to be tackled. So if you can hire a demand gen person first, because you're going to need someone to execute once you've done all of that upfront work. And so you can hire that person first, but I would focus, the jobs that need to get done are, well, you need to find out who your customer is. So can that person do that? You need to find out what your positioning and your messaging is. So can leadership help that demand gen person do it? Can that demand gen person do it? If not, then you might need to bring in maybe a content person with some product marketing chops. That might be maybe your first hire. So, but those jobs need to get done. And it doesn't really matter to me what the role title, the job title is of the person who does them, but they need to get done first.
And then what would you say is like, you know, being marketing or like yourself, you know, what are some of the biggest things that you've learned about building like a marketing team over the last little bit?
I think what I just said is probably what I've learned. I think I had a very specific way of thinking about things, and this is the order of things in terms of hires and in terms of roles that were necessary. So if you asked me maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I would say, well, demand gen 100%. You need to, you know, because demand gen is reporting and demand gen is doing this and demand gen is doing that. Very ignorant of me, because not understanding that whatever that demand gen person is reporting back on, that's not the value. The value is in the actual results, and the actual results are minimized when you don't do those other things first, which are finding a customer and solidifying your message and your position. So I think what I've learned is that those two things come way before, you know, ramping up demand gen on the paid side.
Awesome. No, I think that totally makes sense. I guess probably like my last question I have is like, when you're hiring for these types of different types of individuals to join the marketing team, like, is there a specific skill set or call it core things that you're looking for, or for, and it doesn't have to be, even be something on the like more tactical side, or it could be something more like soft skill related.
Yeah. I normally tell people when I hire, I have three things in mind. That's fit, fire, and fundamentals. So fit is, and that's just what I use for myself. Mm-hmm. And all that means, fit means culture. Fit means, is this person the type of person who makes, our CEO says this all the time, is this person going to make me excited, or does this person make me excited to come to work every day? And so I think that falls into the category of fit. Is this person, do they align with our values, with what we want to be as a company? Is this person someone who can be managed? I'm looking for humbleness when I interview. I'm looking for people who can say, you know what, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to figure out what the answer is. It's okay to not know things. And I want to know that people are okay with not knowing things. And so that's what I would categorize as fit. And then fire is just, are you a learner? Are you the type of person who is constantly investing in yourself? So a question that I normally ask is, what have you learned in the past 6 months? What have you learned in the past 3 months? What are you looking to learn? What books are you reading? What blogs are you subscribed to? How do you consume content? And so that gives you an idea of whether or not the person takes initiative on their own growth and their learning. And the reason why that is so important is because it makes the fundamentals now less important. Not that it's not important, but less important. So whether they know something or not becomes less valuable, because if they don't know it, it's okay. Because I trust, based on their history, based on their fit and fire, that they're going to go out and they're going to go learn whatever it is that they, whatever gap they have. And so then that brings me to the third point, which is fundamentals. And that's okay. And then fundamentals I break down into 3 or 4 for demand gen specifically. And that is, do you have digital marketing experience, right? So do you understand the paid channels? Do you understand Facebook? Do you understand Reddit or Quora or LinkedIn or whatever else it is? Do you understand how digital marketing works? Can you build an ad set? Can you build an ad campaign? Do you understand how conversion works, how optimization works? Do you understand search? So all that would be bucketed into digital marketing. And then I look at marketing automation. So do you understand logic? Do you understand if then what happens in your marketing automation system, how you route a lead from the time that it converts on your website? Do you understand how it's routed into Salesforce, eventually you're into your CRM, whatever you're using? Do you understand the logic that's necessary? So do you understand how to segment for email marketing, et cetera? And then I look at operations, which is similar to automation, but a little bit different. So at that point, I'm asking, do you know how to build reports? And I'm asking that in a different way. I'm saying, tell me how you report. Tell me how you've shown that this works or doesn't work. Tell me about your conversion rates. Tell me about your lead process. What are the stages that a lead goes through? Do you use contacts or do you use leads? So I'm understanding their operational chops. Do they get the how marketing works, how the infrastructure is built? And then I'm asking questions about conversion rate optimization. So when someone comes to the website, what are some of the tools you're using to make sure that now your audience is converting into known contacts, that they're converting into leads for your sales team to follow up? So those are probably the four areas where I'm looking at in terms of fundamentals. Depending on the person, sometimes they have SDR chops as well. They understand the sales development role, so they could lead and manage that team as well. So those are the four or five areas that I'm looking at. So digital marketing, marketing automation, marketing operations, conversion rate optimization, and SDR management. And I'm looking at all of those in about 60 minutes. I'm trying to figure out. And the important thing is, not everybody's going to have all of them banged out, and that's okay. But you want to know where the gaps are, and you want to make sure that that person is going to be able to learn about those areas.
Awesome. I think that was like a really great description.
And then I think just to kind of sum things up here, to kind of end the podcast, you know, I think you've come on and you've really kind of shared like a really interesting perspective here. How would someone kind of get in contact if they wanted to learn more or like, you know, hear more about your thoughts on something?
Yeah, you can follow me on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Roger Figs, F-I-G-S, Roger Figs. You can go to rogerfigs.com. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I don't post very often, but I'm getting out of my shell. The wonderful people at Hashtag Paid are encouraging me to do that. So hopefully I'll post a bit more often. And just get in touch with me. You can email me anytime.
Again, thanks for coming on the podcast. I know the listeners are going to have listened to a really great episode here. You had a ton of insights. So just thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Great. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you.